Amen. I want to look today at the inner battle that we all face. In the book of Romans and chapter 7, if you can turn there, I'm going to just read from verse 14 through to verse 25. It says there, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature a slave to the law of sin." As Christians, you and I are involved in a spiritual battle. We have that daily battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. But much of this battle is the inner battle. It's a battle in our heart and mind. It's a battle of our will. It's a battle of our thoughts and intentions. It's a struggle between our desire and doing God's will. Every one of us here this morning has a sinful nature that we've inherited from Adam, not this Adam, that wars against us daily. The brother of John Wesley, Charles Wesley, described this battle in this song. "Sin in me, the inbred foe, a while subsists in chains, but thou all thy power shall show and slay its last remains. Thou hast conquered my desire, thou shalt quench it with thy blood, fill me with a purifier, and make me all like God." That should be our desire, shouldn't it? To see that inbred sin that's in us all vanquished from our lives. And that's the battle that we're in daily. And be in no doubt, it can be a fierce battle at times. We all wrestle. We all get attacked. We all get tempted. We all have fiery darts from the enemy thrown at us. We have a common enemy this morning, the devil. He goes around, it says in the scripture, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We all face fleshly temptations, whether it's lust or greed or pride or anger or fear or unbelief or bitterness or thefts or dishonesty. We are daily assaulted by temptations and spiritual attacks. This is a real battle. It's a spiritual warfare. And if you and I, if we're not spiritually minded, we won't overcome. When we get saved, we are forgiven, aren't we? We're washed in the blood of Jesus. And then we are in a process called sanctification, which is through the Holy Spirit. Renewed on the inner man. We die to sin. But that doesn't necessarily mean our flesh is fully done away with, does it? and doesn't try to resurrect itself. Otherwise, we wouldn't have to go to the cross daily. The battle with our flesh is a daily battle, and whether you've been saved for 5 minutes or for 50 years, we can all be prone to our fleshly weaknesses. We have years of ingrained habits and sin that God has to purge out of us. We have mindsets and carnal thinking that God has to undo. We are sanctified as believers, and we are being sanctified in the present continuous sense. It's an ongoing fight that we're in, and that's a fight to bring the flesh into subjection to Christ. And when we're born again, that doesn't end the battle with sin. In fact, it begins it, really. It's a lifelong fight that we're in. John Wesley said this: in that instant we are born again, born from above, born of the Spirit. There is a real as well as a relative change. We are inwardly renewed by the power of God. We feel the love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, producing love to all mankind, and more especially to the children of God, expelling the love of the world, the love of pleasure, of ease, of honour, of money, together with pride, anger, self-will, and every other evil temper. In a word, changing the earthly, sensual, devilish mind into the mind that was in Christ Jesus. How naturally do those who experience such a change imagine that all sin is gone, that it is utterly rooted out of their heart and has no more place therein? How easily do they draw that inference: I feel no sin, therefore I have none. It does not stir, therefore it does not exist. It has no motion, therefore it has no being. But it is seldom long before they are undeceived, finding sin was only suspended, not destroyed. Temptations return and sin revives, showing that it was but stunned before, not dead. They now feel two principles in themselves, plainly contrary to each other: the flesh lusting against the Spirit, nature opposing the grace of God. They cannot deny that, although they still feel power to believe in Christ and to love God, and although His Spirit still witnesses with their spirit that they are the children of God. Yet they themselves feel sometimes pride or self-will, sometimes anger or unbelief. They find one or more of these frequently stirring in their heart, though not conquering, yea, perhaps thrusting sore at them that they may fall. But the Lord is their help. Very perceptive of the battle that we're in. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Says, do you not know that that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Well, I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I pommel my body and subdue it, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Paul understood that he had to pommel his body and subdue it. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Casting down imaginations. We get some imaginations, don't we? Many Christians live in Fantasy Island with vainglorious thoughts of what they're going to achieve, what they're going to own, how rich they're going to be, what a clever person they are. But you know, God has a way of bringing us down to reality. And the Bible tells us to cast down imaginations, to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ, to make our thoughts submit to Christ, our intentions and our desires to submit to God's will. That's self-denial. That is the crucifying of the flesh, is allowing God's Spirit to rule and reign in our hearts and minds. Be renewed in your minds, it tells us in the Bible. A mind that's set above, on things above, not on carnal, earthly things. A body pummeled into submission to God's will, denying fleshly lusts which war against the soul. This is what Paul is talking about. He's not physically pommeling himself, as maybe some of the Jesuits do with a whip out on themselves. He's talking about self-control. He's talking about not giving in to bodily lusts and desires. See, this is what makes Christianity different from religion. Religion's about outward conformity to a set of rules and regulations in order to please God. Whereas Christianity is about allowing God to transform us inwardly. Colossians 2:20 says, "Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch." These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom, with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. You see, outward religion has no spiritual value in God's kingdom. It does not restrain, as it tells us here, sensual indulgence. That's why you find often in religion there's so many sex scandals in the Catholic Church and other churches. Indeed, religious false Christianity and religion, because of their rules and regulations that they have, and rituals and traditions, has no value in restraining their sensual appetites. That's what outward conformity does. It doesn't transform the inner man. We need the Spirit of God to change us on the inside. 2 Corinthians 4:16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Inner renewal is the Christian life. God changing us on the inside in our hearts and minds, freeing us from sin and bondage, delivering us from that carnal mindset so that you and I can serve the living God. But it's a battle, and it's shamedly one that we're not always victorious in. But thanks be to God this morning, we do have an advocate in heaven, whoever intercedes for us, who knows our frame, who remembers that we are but dust, and who delivers us from the evil one. The good news this morning is it's God who works in us. We're not fighting this battle on our own, because we're new creatures in Christ. We're living the resurrection life. We have the Spirit of God dwelling in earthen vessels. When we are weak, he is strong. His strength, it tells us, is made perfect in our weakness. His grace is sufficient for us. The danger we face when we're struggling in this battle is discouragement and withdrawing from God's help and strength. Instead of looking to God, looking to ourselves. You know, if you look to yourself, you will get discouraged. If you dwell this morning on all your failings and weaknesses, you're going to feel pretty overwhelmed and crushed. Because the answer doesn't lie in your resources, but in Christ. He alone has power over sin. He alone can deliver and heal and set us free. And in Christ, you and I, we have access to the throne room of heaven. The blood of Jesus Christ has taken the veil away. We can boldly go into the throne of grace to find help, it says, in the time of need. We can call upon the Lord, so shall we be saved from our enemies. Hebrews 4:12-16 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That's a good scripture, isn't it? It's God's battle, not ours. We have a God who fights for us. We have a great high priest in the heavens. But the question is this morning is, do we call upon him in the time of need? Or do we dwell in defeat and surrender? Do we give in to our sins, our weaknesses? Or do we seek the Lord and get the victory through his Spirit? You know, this morning we either believe God's word or we don't. We have to stand on his word and his promises if we're going to survive this battle. I mean, if we're going to overcome the flesh and the trials that come our way in this life. We need to build our life on the rock. A sure foundation, it says, in the time of storm. See, God wants to change us in the inner man. But we also have to desire to be changed. And even to see the need for change. Because the truth is, we can often be blind to our own faults and failings. It's more worrying for those who cannot see their need of change than those who can but get discouraged. We need to allow God to search our hearts and mind, and that is a choice this morning of our will. Psalm 139:23-24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We need to be those that let God change us. Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That needs to be our heart cry every day. Desiring a clean heart, having a renewed right spirit within us, keeping right with God, wanting a heart free from iniquity and sin, desiring godliness and holiness, desiring to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. A lot of the church these days is lukewarm. They profess to know Christ, but there's no godly desire for God, no hunger for God, no zeal for truth. And you question whether they know Christ? Or will there be those that say, Lord, Lord, did we not do this in your name and that? And he says, I never knew you. You know, where's our heart? A godly heart is motivated by God's love. Motivated about righteousness, about knowing God, about wanting God's will to be done. Where our heart is, there is our treasure. What's most important to us? What do we build our lives on? Serving ourselves or serving God? We need to examine ourselves, the Bible tells us, doesn't it? 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realise this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. Matthew 6:19-21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It is a worry when you see people who are supposedly believers but don't seem to have any heart desire for God. The house has been swept, but it's not being filled with God. Sadly, too often. They made the commitment at some point, but they never let God transform them. Matthew 12:43-45 says, when an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself. And they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. That is how it will be with this wicked generation. The unclean spirit, when it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied. How many go to church but the house is unoccupied? How many conform outwardly but the inside is empty? There's no spirit of God. It's called religion. An outward conformity but with no inward change. Faith without any works, no transformation, and it's a deception and it's a lie. Because if the heart isn't right, nothing else is. There has to be an inward change. God looks at the inner man. 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." We need the inner man renewed. Thank God that he's a God who can change the inner man. Thank God he can take our heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. He can create in us a clean heart. Ezekiel 36:25-27. "Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness, from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." 2 Corinthians 7:1. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." You see, we don't have confidence in our own flesh this morning. Our heart is corrupt, deceitful, fickle. But God has given you and I a new heart. If we will submit and trust in him, if we will desire it. The Bible says, "Ask and you shall receive." What a better thing to ask of God than for a new heart. And God won't refuse that request. If we're willing. That's the key, isn't it? Are we willing to humble ourselves? Are we willing to admit the mess we're in? Are we willing to accept God's will for our lives and be willing to submit to him? There's nothing good in us. We're born in sin. We're shapen in iniquity. We're corrupted from birth. The only good in us is what God has done in us. Yes. Don't be surprised as you go on serving God to find God showing you things in your heart that you didn't know were there. Yes. Things that are ugly, things that are vile, things that you'd rather not see. Attitudes you didn't think were there, but are there. Pride rearing its ugly head on you. You know, when God allows us to see these things, it's in order to heal us and to cleanse us so that we can be set free and sanctified. We're on a lifelong walk of transformation, becoming more Christ-like, growing in holiness, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, being moulded and shaped by God, so that we can reflect his glory in our lives. But that walk has to start on the inside. We have got to change. We can't stand still. As Paul said, we press on. We strive for the mastery. We pummel our bodies to bring them into subjection to God. We fight the good fight of faith to lay hold on eternal life. We pursue godliness and holiness. We desire to do God's will. It's a battle, it's a struggle. We do sometimes fail, we do falter, we do get it wrong, we fall sometimes. But what's important is to get back up, to look to Jesus Christ and get back on that path, that narrow path that leads to life. And if the enemy tries to discourage us when we fall and to bring condemnation upon us, to stop us getting back up, we need to quote a scripture from the Bible at him, Micah 7:8. "Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Because I have sinned against him, I will bear the Lord's wrath until he pleads my case and upholds my cause. He will bring me out into the light. I will see his righteousness. Then my enemy will see it and will be covered with shame. She who said to me, 'Where is the Lord your God?' My eyes will see her downfall. Even now she will be trampled underfoot like mire in the streets." You see, God will pick us back up if we look to him. The most important aspect of serving God, above everything else, is keeping our hearts right with him. God sees the inner man. He indeed dwells in us if we belong to him. So we need to keep our temples clean and swept, and also not just empty, but filled with the Spirit of God. Hebrews 3:15, as has just been said, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion." If we want to keep our hearts right with God, we need to remain open to his voice. Do not resist his promptings and his conviction. A hardened heart is deaf to God, and that's a dangerous place to be in. It's vital that we guard our hearts, because it's the inner man that God is after this morning. We're in a warfare. There's always going to be that battle between our flesh and the spirit, between our will and God's will. But if Christ is in you and you'll allow him to conquer the inner man and rule and reign in your heart, and don't keep him on the outside knocking to get in. Too many want to keep God at arm's length, not allow him inside to change us, because they like their comfortable lives. Men enjoy their ease and their pet sins. They don't want to have to give up their self-will and happy lifestyle to serve God. They don't want to crucify the flesh and have to die to self. But Jesus said, if any man's going to follow him, he has to pick up his cross. John 12:25, he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon you yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We are dead to sin. Sin has no more dominion over us, but we have to crucify it and not allow it to reign in us. We have the Spirit of God if we belong to Christ. Through his Spirit, we can mortify the flesh. The inner battle is one that we can win, but it's not in our own flesh or ability this morning, or through an outward effort of religion, but it's by through God's Spirit that we can find victory over the flesh in the sinful nature. Thanks be to God this morning, it is his battle. Another hymn by Charles Wesley. Oh, that my load of sin were gone. Oh, that I could at last submit at Jesus' feet, to lay it down, to lay my soul at Jesus' feet. Rest for my soul I long to find. Saviour of all, if mine thou art, give me thy meek and lowly mind, and stamp thine image on my heart. Break off the yoke of inbred sin, and fully set my spirit free. I cannot rest till pure within, till I am wholly lost in thee. Fain would I learn of thee, my God, thy light and easy burden prove, the cross all stained with hallowed blood, the labour of thy dying love. I would, but thou must give the power, my heart from every sin release. Bring near the joyful hour, and fill me with thy perfect peace. The battle is the Lord's. He can give us the victory over sin and Satan and the flesh. And the Lord is the one who renews the inner man day by day. But only if we're willing and obedient and ready to let God have access to our hearts and our minds, and don't keep him on the outside of our lives. Amen. Let's pray this morning.